Hello and welcome to Greenwich Pantry Podcast. This podcast session is so interesting. I've got my ideal guest on the line. I'm not going to take away her thunder. I'm going to let Claire Thomas introduce herself.
Thank you. Yes, so I'm Claire Thomas. I'm a nutritional therapist from Nourish to Soar. And yes, I have a fascination with food and how it makes us feel. And, you know, how when we eat well, we feel better and we feel well in ourselves. So, yeah, thank you for the introduction.
Great. So, yes, so we want to talk about food and mental health, and specifically how food makes our gut feel. Tell me about the work you're doing in that area.
Sure. So I've had a fascination for a little while. So I've had sort of various health conditions over the years. I had glandular fever, which resulted in quite a few digestive issues, but I didn't really put two and two together until about 10 years ago when I developed chronic fatigue syndrome. And that was a real kind of sharp, steep learning curve into how nutrition, how diet impacts kind of how we're feeling. So I'm a nurse by background, I'm a children's nurse, and about 3 years ago, I took the decision to leave the NHS to pursue nutritional therapy. So I've spent the last year, 3 years training at a master's level to become a nutritional therapist, and I've launched Nourish to Soar in the last couple of years. And as I've learnt more, I've been able to join a lot of dots together when I look at, you know, times in my life when I've eaten a certain way, or perhaps I've been stressed, or, you know, looking at certain circumstances, I've been able to join the dots and go, okay, that's because perhaps my gut health wasn't as good as it could be. And yeah, I've just found it really fascinating. The more I learn, the more I want to learn, and the more I'm sort of aware of, I guess, it's becoming aware of what your body's saying or your gut saying and finding ways to support it. So that's what I've been doing kind of over my training.
Very, very interesting indeed. So people generally associate therapy with a level of counselling and, you know, perhaps one-to-one sessions with a counsellor. But it appears that what we eat does really affect our whole being, and being a nutritional therapist, you must have found that very, as you said, very interesting in your journey. But tell us how people can start to feel their way around this. How can they start to see that perhaps what they're feeling and what they're thinking about, the way they eat and the way, how does it all connect? How does the dots join up for you?
Sure. Yeah, no, definitely. So it's like I've said, it's looking at what your gut is telling you, you know, how you're feeling. So there's some key signs and symptoms that as a nutritional therapist, I would pick up on. So that could be things like bloating, brain fog, feeling sluggish, struggling with loose stools, constipation, food allergies, or low mood and anxiety. These can be signs that kind of tell me something's not kind of working as well as it could do. And it works both ways. So our gut is actually connected to our brain and is referred to as the second brain. You know, we've all had those moments of gut feelings, and it gives us a lot of signs. And so that vagus nerve, you know, sends those communications between our brain and our gut. So when our guts are perhaps not feeling right, we're feeling that sluggish bloatedness, it can impact, you know, how we're feeling mentally. But also it can work the other way. You know, when we're not feeling our best selves mentally, perhaps we're feeling incredibly stressed. Stress actually impacts the gut. It reduces the ability of the gut to digest food properly, meaning that we're perhaps not going to get the nutrients absorbed that that help us to create things such as neurotransmitters. So if we look at one particular neurotransmitter called serotonin, you might well have heard of serotonin before, but it really supports our mood, and about 95% of serotonin is made in the gut. So if we've perhaps not got the microbiome. So the microbiome is what we refer to as the kind of the bacteria and pathogens in our gut that helps to produce the serotonin. If perhaps that's not fully functioning, then we might not be able to produce as much serotonin as perhaps is beneficial. So there's lots of things as we start to get into it that can, yeah, that can impact.
Yeah, interesting. You mentioned about stress. So last week in one of the classes, we had a lady talking about how after she's had something that she's eaten, she might have enjoyed it, but then she gets this guilt feelings that come over her.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time she mentioned that it's related to, you know, times when she's been stressed. So when she's stressed, yeah, she goes in and eats whatever, you know, is there.
Sure.
And then, you know, afterwards it's like, oh, why did you eat that? Couldn't you have eaten that? That kind of thought comes, yeah, up. And I think when you think about what you've said and how the you know, what goes into your gut and the feeling that, you know, production of the serotonin, I can really see how we can be down on ourselves, you know, when we're, yeah, not eating, yeah, right. And you know, we don't even think about constipation as an issue, because sometimes people just overlook constipation, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But, you know, at least once a day is kind of what we're looking for, you know, so got to think about that.
Yeah, at least once a day. So you obviously have been doing a lot of these sessions since you've qualified. What do you think are the things that would you like to communicate to people who maybe are going through this, so that perhaps, you know, they can start making a list of the trigger points? I mean, you mentioned it briefly then just now, but I think,
yeah,
I think what I'm getting from what you're saying is that we have to be good listeners for,
yes,
you know, we have to listen out for things in our body and listen out for the way that our body is behaving. But, you know, sometimes it's so hard to do that. It's really difficult to listen. There's so much noise crowding the,
yeah,
you know, the surfaces. What would you advise somebody who's listening to this is thinking, ooh, that might be something that I need, but
yeah,
what might they want to do first before going to, sure, speak to someone like you?
Of course, yeah, no, definitely. So where possible, it is things like creating a food diary. If you see that perhaps you're getting bloated after eating, you know, for example, bread. Now, for me, I'm gluten intolerant. I really struggle to eat gluten, which is a shame because I love a good loaf of bread. But I know that if I eat too much gluten, I actually find I'm becoming, my mood gets lower, I get more anxious, I get more sluggish, I get more brain fog. So it's things like that, you know, do you have... you know, these symptoms, can you sort of write them down? Do you find they get worse? And it's just, again, that listening. There are also some like more practical tips that you could do to just support your gut health in general. So things like including probiotic foods into your diet. So probiotic foods are things like sauerkraut, which you can actually make yourself at home, kefir, kimchi, and sort of yogurt with bacteria in it. That's one thing you can do. The other thing is, we talk a lot about eating the rainbow. I don't know if you've heard that before.
Oh, but that, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. That's about making sure that we're eating, you know, diversity. Are we getting like different colors of fruit and vegetables? Are we eating whole grain? Because fiber is important, you know, to help with things like constipation. Are we getting enough protein? Because protein helps us to form things like neurotransmitters, amongst other things. You know, are you getting in that into your diet? Looking at the amount of ultra processed food you're eating, because they're actually can be harmful to the gut. So can you reduce the amount of ultra processed foods and cook from scratch? You know, a lot of what you teach, isn't it, is how to cook, and, you know, have those sort of meals in your diet instead where possible. And then probably one of the bigger things is also reducing stress where possible, because if we're eating on the go, eating on the run, that impacts how well we're digesting. So could you try deep breathing before eating? You know, just taking a moment, being still, enjoying your food, chewing it slowly, because that helps. If we chew it properly, it means our guts can absorb the nutrients better. Avoid distractions where possible, you know, not watching the telly or, you know, playing on your phone if you can when you're eating. So that's just a few pointers that you could get started with. And, you know, even if you just try for, you know, a week and see how different you feel, and then, you know, you can decide from then if it's something you want to explore further.
Yeah, I really like the idea of keeping a food diary. That's something that I've had to do myself over the past, over the past couple of years. And it's amazing what it actually reveals to you. If you're very honest about it and you actually list everything that you eat, even if it's in minute details, it's quite revealing, isn't it?
Definitely. I think sometimes we don't realize what we're eating or how we're eating or even how much we're eating. So food diaries can be a bit, I find that with clients when I say, okay, can you fill in this 3-day diary? And they come back and they're like, oh my word, I didn't realize what I was eating.
And somehow bread always features in that, doesn't it?
Of course.
Yeah. You also mentioned about sauerkraut. I mean, that's a fermented food, isn't it? And this month we are celebrating Sourdough September.
People
forget that sourdough is a fermented process.
It is. Very good, yeah.
Perhaps that's one of the reasons why it's been so popular in the last couple of years, apart from the fact that, you know, people had more time to experiment with it in the pandemic. I think people are starting to realize that there is a very close relationship between, you know, what we eat and how we feel. I mean, it's always been that old saying that says you are what you eat, isn't it?
Definitely. And I think I could go further. It's also how we digest, what we absorb and what we eliminate too.
So yeah, absolutely.
I'll go a bit further with that.
So basically what I'm saying is that, you know, there's so many ways to incorporate fermented food into your diet. If you're someone who finds that you love bread, and, you know, perhaps you could kind of swap it out for sourdough bread or something like that.
Definitely. And also, you know, research does show that some people do actually find sourdough easier to digest than, say, if you went and bought a commercial loaf from the supermarket. Or even things like if it's got some rye in it, rye flour or spelt flour, you know, those more what we call the ancient grains. Some people actually tolerate that better than wheat flour. So it just depends. You can have all sorts of different variations of sourdough. It's a good all-rounder. I do miss a good sourdough, I must say.
You know, the other thing that kind of catches my attention from everything you're saying is that all of this stuff, it sounds sometimes a little bit like it's a bit sad that we can't eat something that we've always eaten, and it's a bit sad that, you know, we kind of grieve for the food that we love when we get a diagnosis like what you've just said, or maybe we've got chronic IBS or something like that. But I want to kind of explore the positive of that, which I guess you're introducing something new to your body and something different, and, you know, we don't have to go through life eating the whole thing from day one. We don't anyway. You know, baby food gets to adult food or teenage food, and then, you know, so I guess one of the positives is that you get to explore new things and new types of food. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I would agree with you. So yes, I've been joking that I miss bread, but in all honesty, I don't miss it as well, because I don't like how I feel when I eat it. So I would much rather, you know, replace it. You know, I've had much fun, I think, you know, making soda bread with like buckwheat flour, and, you know, getting used to grains like buckwheat, and you know, using things like quinoa, and I think I've gone further, because I don't just rely on, say, for myself, like alternatives. I've had a lot of fun in the kitchen going, oh, how can I make this different? And actually having fun, as I'm sure you know, having fun in the kitchen it makes the whole process so much more enjoyable.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. I think if we can just set that time aside and kind of give ourselves more time, release ourselves from all the rushing of snacking, and I mean obviously snacking has its place, and
of course
you can actually cook your own snack from scratch, I think it's just that rushing around with food. And when you look at what people did in the past, you see that people were not really rushing around eating.
No.
They were actually taking food seriously, weren't they?
They were. And I think, you know, there is elements of, you know, I think to sit and enjoy food, I mean, I know it's not always possible, but it's to sit and enjoy that process of cooking and having it on the table and like eating at a table as well. I think that actually can reduce our stress when we're eating at the table, but also when we're eating in front of the TV, for example, we can end up eating more sometimes.
Yeah.
So there is that balance to it from that point of view as well.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing about the TV is that you just kind of, I mean, I do this with popcorn, you know, you just kind of sit there and you just, it's like that kind of
process. Totally, yeah.
and you know, I find like maybe if I swap popcorn for rice cake sometimes,
yeah,
that might balance things out a bit. Because, yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with popcorn, but it's just when you eat a whole bag of it.
Oh, it's all about moderation, you know. I mean, I enjoy popcorn and crisps, but I also recognise that it's important that I don't eat it too much. So yeah.
So I mean, we're coming to the end of the podcast. It'd be great to have you back again, and maybe we can delve into a bit more of some of the stuff you've talked about. But I'm sure you have a blog or some sort or somewhere that people can go and find out more information. Do you want to tell us where that might be?
Yep, so you can find more information about me at nourishtosoar.co.uk. Mm-hmm. Or I'm also on Instagram and Facebook under nourishtosoar. So yeah, and feel free to also get in touch if you want to know more as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I've really enjoyed talking to you, and I thank you for also your openness, because I think sometimes when we go through these things, we think that we're on our own, but actually so many people are going through the same things. It's just that no one's talking about it. So thank you so much.
No, my pleasure. It's been a real pleasure to talk, and yes, happy to come back and talk more.
Don't worry, you will be back. Bye for now.
Okay, bye-bye.